Well, amen. Well, thank you for being here this morning. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 6. And thankful for a lot this morning. I don't know if you've noticed, but one of the things that we've had some, our connection team who's trying to help and lead and lead in our greeter ministry particularly. And so I hope you've noticed that last few weeks we've made a concerted effort there, and particularly before our main worship service. And just want you to know, all of you who serve on that team or serve as a greeter at any point, how thankful I am for you. It means so much as folks come in an unfamiliar place to find a friendly face and somebody just to say, hey, good morning, open the door, hand them a bulletin or help them find their seat or any information they have. So I just want to say thank you so much for all those that serve there as a part of that ministry. Matthew chapter 6, and we are wrapping up, Lord willing, today we'll wrap up the series on face fingerprints. And so earlier this morning, Alray told me this was Liam's first sermon. He said, so he'll be able to say after today, that's the best sermon he's ever heard. And that'll last until he goes and finds his next one, right? And that'll be the best one. But just thank God for them being here. And I know, I just wish Al Ray and Carrie would get excited about those grandbabies. If they just get excited about that, they'd be okay. But don't get close to Al Ray if he has a cell phone in his hand, because you are going to look at the recent pictures, okay? And so that's great. Man, I'm just rejoicing with them and thank God for them. But this face fingerprints, and we're talking about the fundamentals. Jesus, he whittles it down to three things specifically in this portion of the text. And we've been looking at those. So we started with almsgiving, helping those that are in need, helping those that are in worse positions than we are, and just trying to give back and serve the Lord with what He's given to us. And then mentioned a moment ago, we've been talking about prayer. And so almsgiving, this giving to others, helping meet needs, and then prayer. And then we are at today's, and this is a part of this fundamental series that Jesus is giving us, fasting. And I know you all showed up today fired up to hear and to learn and dig into fasting, because, man, it's exciting, right? Well, unfortunately, I think we've relegated and pushed it off to a place in a deep, dark corner where maybe we don't have to look at it or think about it or consider it. But unfortunately, as we preach through the text, and to be quite honest with you, maybe reference through Luke a little bit, but as far as I know, this is the only time I've ever slowed down and just preached specifically on fasting. And so I did more reading and more studying this week maybe than ever before, just because I want to be clear on what's going on and what the text is saying this morning. And so this morning I want to preach to you a message I've titled Fingerprints of Fasting. Fingerprints of Fasting. And then to go along with this faith fingerprints series that we've been doing. So the main idea of the text is God desires for His followers to fast. And so look, I want you to see this in the text. So Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16. And if you found your place and you're willing and you're able, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret, will reward you openly. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time of singing praise to you. I pray we would worship you through your word, through the preaching of your word. I ask you to fill me with your spirit. Give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. Give me grace to preach as a dying man to a dying people about the risen Savior. You be glorified this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. So the fingerprints of fasting, the evidence of fasting. And so if you are taking the notes, the main idea is God desires for his followers to fast. This is one of those three fundamental ideas: giving to help others, praying, and fasting. It's the building blocks of your faith. It's the fundamentals. It's Christianity 101. And helping others, we get that. Praying, sure, got it, preacher, realize. But fasting? And so the question that I think we need to ask out of the text is, when was the last time you fasted? Now, I think there's a lot of misunderstanding around fasting. Write this name down, Ronnie Floyd. He's formerly the pastor at Cross Church in Northwest Arkansas. He was president of the Southern Baptist Convention recently, and now he's the president of the executive committee in the Southern Baptist Convention, and God has used it in a great way. And I believe he's the foremost expert in this field of prayer and fasting in terms of today, people alive and writing today. And so he's got a book called The Power of Prayer and Fasting. And so if you're interested in growing and learning more about this, man, I'd encourage you. But I know of no other church who is more committed to corporate prayer and corporate fasting. It's amazing, the things that I read this week and people saying that fasting didn't matter, fasting wasn't important for today, and so on and so forth. And I would just say they've got to do away with a whole lot of scripture to say that fasting doesn't matter for you and I. But let me help you understand. I think Ronnie Floyd has the clearest definition in that book, The Power of Prayer and Fasting. And it's this: fasting is the absence of food for a set amount of time for a spiritual purpose. It's choosing not to eat anything for a set amount of time for a spiritual purpose. I believe that's a biblical definition. You don't find in Scripture where people fasted from their cell phone. You don't find in Scripture where people fasted from a TV or fasted from something else. When it talks about a fast, it is always a time where they did not eat or drink, or if they drank, it was very minimal. It was water to stay hydrated or something of the effect for their day and time to stay hydrated. So here's the deal. Can you fast from the TV or from your cell phone or from whatever it is? Well, you can take whatever time that you might give to watching your favorite TV shows and place that over on praying, and that will never be a bad thing. Time spent in prayer is never time wasted. Okay? But in terms of a biblical fast, we are talking about the absence of food. Okay? All right, I know I got real quiet in here. That lasted long. Okay, so we want to unpack what Jesus is teaching here and how this may affect our life and how we may be a part of that. And so remember, this first section, Jesus talks about helping others, and he moved into prayer. And then verse 16, number one, fasting is expected. Fasting is expected. Notice what verse 16 says. Moreover, when you fast, mark or underline that phrase, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for their face disfigured, they disfigure their faces, they may appear to men to be fasting. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. But don't skip over this phrase, when you fast. Why? Because Jesus, here, he's walking through these fundamentals. He doesn't tell people specifically, he doesn't go through this long mantra about people ought to give. There's the underlying assumption they ought to give. He doesn't go through the long mantra about how they ought to pray. And we don't question, should we pray? We understand we ought to pray. He is not here at a point saying you should fast. He's understanding that his followers will fast. Man, I didn't know they preached about this in a Baptist church. And so here the text, the underlying idea is that it's understood, it's expected that you and I, as followers of Jesus, will have a time that we push away from the table and spend time in the prayer closet. If you have your Bible, look at Isaiah 58, beginning in verse 5. It's a longer passage. Isaiah 58, beginning in verse 5. There's a calling of this fast by Isaiah and laying this out. And I want you to notice some things here. Isaiah 58, beginning in verse 5. Is it a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen? Notice this, and you may want to mark or underline some of these things. To loose the bonds of wickedness. To undo the heavy burdens. To let the oppressed go free. And that you break every yoke. Is it not, look, to share your bread with the hungry. That you bring your house to the poor who are cast out. And when you see the naked, look, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then, notice, your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing, notice, your healing shall spring forth speedily. And your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. Did you see all the spiritual benefits that Isaiah points out happens when people fast? There's a breaking of the yoke. There's a breaking of bondage. The captives are set free. Healing comes. God does incredible things as a result of people pushing back from their most fundamental basic necessity and saying, I am more desperate for you, God. So, well, that's Old Testament. I'm glad you thought that thought. Look at Acts chapter 13, the New Testament. Acts 13, verse 2. God is raising up missionary, raising up people to go and send and plant more churches and reach more people. Acts chapter 13, verse 2 and 3, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So as a result of sending out these missionaries, or in preparation of sending out these missionaries, they prayed. But they also fasted. That's why I like Ronnie Floyd's definition of fasting. It's the absence of food for a set amount of time for a spiritual objective, a spiritual goal. We're going to talk about some of that just a little bit. But folks, we've got to understand, fasting has to be as normal to our Christian life as giving to others and praying. Sometimes I think we hear, somebody maybe did a one-day fast or a three-day fast or a seven-day fast or a 40-day fast. Man, they're so spiritual. Not necessarily. They just read the Word and they're obedient to it. And now let me say this, and I'm going to give you some real practical steps, some real nuts and bolts. How can I have this in my life? There are some people in this room that physically are not able to fast. Physically, they cannot go without food for a day. for 24 hours. They can't go without food, or they certainly can't go 3 days or 7 days. And listen, I'm going to say this again here in a little bit later, but you need to hear this multiple times. If you've never fasted before, it's a real good idea to consult with your physician just about your medical makeup to make sure it is medically okay for you to fast. And if not, then adjust. And the Lord knows that. The Lord understands. Okay? Lord can work and move. But for the most of us, that's not the case. All right? So, number one, fasting is expected. Number two, fasting is discreet. Discreet. Verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites. He has said that several times in chapter 6. What did they do? With a sad countenance, they disfigured their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but your Father who's in secret place and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And so, here's the thing. You need to seek the Lord. God, when is it? And try to seek God about times and places and opportunities that He may want you to take advantage of to fast. And God calls you, God speaks to your heart and says, okay, here's the deal. Wednesday, you're going to fast. It needs to be discreet as possible. Don't fast on a Sunday and come in with your shirt tail out and man, just wrinkled up, hair's a mess, and you just walk along. Hey, Chris, how you doing? I'm hungry, but I'm sure okay. Praying for Jesus to do a work. Just trying to put it out there so people know. Jesus says if you do that, there'd probably be some people who think, well, Chris is spiritual. Fasting and on a Sunday? Didn't he know it was fifth Sunday potluck? He's spiritual. And Jesus says that'll be all the reward you get. That'll be the benefit of your fasting is people patting you on the back and saying, man, what a good Christian you are. But rather, he says, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your... I mean, simply do what you normally do. Wash yourself, be clean. Don't come in trying to impress people or trying to let people know. But do it in such a way where nobody else knows. And there's some practicality to this. And let me talk... But first, look at Matthew 6, beginning in verse 1. This is a common theme that we've been talking about for the last several weeks. Verse 1, take heed that you do your charitable deeds, but do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them, otherwise you have your reward. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as a hypocrite do in the synagogue. And skip on down, it says, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. And skip on down, whenever you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. He tells you at the end, they're going to your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who sees in a secret place. And so we need to be really careful as God leads you to this and God calls you and leads you to think and pray about fasting. And we just need to be really careful and we need to think ahead. How and when can we do this so that is discreet? Now, the other side of this, don't become so legalistic in this that you miss opportunities that God's calling you to fast. Here's the deal. In my household, and I know it's not like this in yours, but in my household, my wife does most of the cooking and I do most of the eating. I know I'm the only one, we're the only family that's like that in here. Okay? If God leads me to fast on a particular day, you know who's probably going to realize that I'm not eating? Is my bride. And so, I don't broadcast it to everybody, but I'll go to my wife. She's not going to be impressed because she lives with me every day, okay? She knows, number one, I need to fast and I certainly need to pray more, okay? So I'll go to my wife and say, hey, listen, I believe the Lord wants me to fast, so these days and these times, I won't be eating. No big deal. Move on, keep going, etc. So I realize within your own household or something going on. Now, here's the other side of that. Be mindful about when you plan your fasting. If we are having a big potluck this morning, as best I can help, I'm probably not going to plan a fasting. And I know what you're thinking. We've seen you. You like to eat. And yes, I enjoy potluck as much as anybody in this room. But I'm also not going to do it in such a way because several of you come by, Brother Chris, you're not eating today. Notice you're not eating. And I'm just trying to avoid of trying to look and appear to be something that I'm really not. Now, I'm saying that won't ever happen. I'm not saying that God will never call that and present that and cause that to be the case. But we need to be discreet as we possibly can. And be mindful. Plan ahead. Think about this as the Lord calls us to it. Okay, number three. Fasting is honored. The Lord honors fasting. Look at verse 18. So that you do not appear to men to be fasting. The idea is that I do it in such a way that nobody knows anything else is different. But to your Father who is in the secret place. By the way, just unpack that statement a little bit. You're giving, you're praying, you're fasting. The God who is in the secret place. The God who's in the secret place and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now, that does not mean if I fast this week that suddenly next week when Al Ray throws up the slideshow, there's going to be a balloon background and congratulations, Brother Chris, for completing 24 hours of fasting. That's not at all what that means. But remember going back to Ronnie Floyd, the definition to help us kind of understand this, it's an absence of food for a set amount of time for a spiritual objective or goal. So when you fast, we're going to talk about this, setting some goals and believing God's leading me to fast. He'll lead you to fast for a specific reason or for specific purpose. And one of my families was diagnosed with cancer. God's called me to fast that God may do a great work in their life. Or financial hardship or protection from flood or whatever the case may be. I'm seeking the Lord about a new job or seeking the Lord about if this is what He has for me or transitioning to a new position. And there's that specific reason, specific purpose. And what God says is what you do in private, He'll reward you openly. God honors the fasting of His people. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 22, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And look, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Your motivation behind fasting must be, God has led me to this for this specific time, for this specific purpose, so that when God answers and God moves, it'll be clear that it's Him who has done it, and that will be my reward, that I've seen God work, I've seen God move, and God answered in this way. It's not a reward where people will go around and come to your home and suddenly you have a mantle full of trophies that say number one pastor at Second Baptist Church. And so, God desires for His people to fast. And now, I've got on the screen some real practical tips. I think I put it in your notes there, but some real practical tips about fasting. Number one, pray about if and when. And what I mean by if you're medically able, make sure, and that's part of, number two, check with your physician about medical clearance. Make sure this is something the doctor says, hey, you're okay with that. Yeah, you're good to go. And then pray about opportunities and just be sensitive. Be open to God leading you to fast. Number three, decide when and how long the fast will be. You may say, man, I believe God's leading me to do this. And does He want me to do it for 24 hours? Does He want me to do it for 3 days, 7 days, 40 days? Now, here's the deal. If you've never fasted before, I'm not sure 40 days is the place to begin. Okay? And particularly, don't walk out of here, I'm starting today, and next 40 days, I'm not going to eat. Well, there are some practical things to help you mentally and help your body prepare for a week-long fast or two-week-long fast or whatever the case may be. And so just thinking ahead and planning ahead, God is calling me to this and making some preparations for that. And then this is out of Ronnie's book, and I think it's a great suggestion. Number four, set three specific focuses for that fast. Three spiritual focus, goals, objectives. Maybe you just feel like, man, I'm in a season where I've gotten away from the Lord. I'm not as close as I once was. And you make that a goal. Number one, I want to get back closer to the Lord Jesus. Number two, I've been struggling with gossip. I've been struggling with pride. I've been struggling with lust, pornography. This strongholds in my life. I'm going to make that a goal. And number three, my church may be struggling in this area, or we're seeking and asking the Lord to help us to grow, or we're trying to reach people in our community, and I set that as a goal. And then for whatever set amount of time that is, I'm focusing on praying for those things. Number four, give normal time for meal prep and eating to prayer. Now let me be real honest with you. Probably my first time of fasting, or second time, I found a way. I know y'all would never do this, okay, so go ahead, cast your stones. I found a way to not eat, but stay busy enough where I didn't think about I was hungry, or think about that I was missing a mealtime. And the problem with that is when you set these goals and you make that clear, the purpose and the idea of this is that you take that time and you turn it in focusing on prayer and seeking the Lord. Now, I understand you normally have an hour for lunch, and maybe during the day it doesn't not real conducive to go get alone and really be able to seek the Lord. But you may try to take that hour later in the day. But whatever time it is for you to have lunch or breakfast or supper or whatever meals or what opportunities, man, take that time and focus specifically on praying and seeking the Lord, reading Scripture, and turning your heart, asking God to do these things. That same amount of time that you would normally give to those meals. Number six, again, recommendation out of Ronnie's book, is journal along with this. Especially for extended fasting. Journal, just write down during those times what you're praying for, write down your prayers, write down how God's really dealing with your heart, things that are going on. And trusting the Lord. Okay. I know it. Boy, this is exciting stuff. But folks, I really believe in a lot of ways what Jesus is saying. These are the nuts and bolts. These are the gears that make the wheel turn. This is the fundamental building blocks of our faith. Giving to others, praying, and fasting. Now, let me drop the big bomb on you, okay? Everybody hold on, get your pen out, okay? Those of you that are physically able, and some of you, you don't know, you need to visit with your doctor. But I'm going to ask that those of you that are physically able in the next 7 days, would you give a 24-hour period of fasting? And let me give you the number one objective to focus on during your time is asking God to save 130 students in Agronomia and beyond. Man, it got quiet. Now, let me help you. If you've never fasted before, let me help you with a couple other things. If you believe, and I want you to pray, and man, God's laid that on my heart, and whatever day that is, between now and next Sunday, a 24-hour period, let me give you one helpful tip to work through this, is that you may say, okay, I believe the Lord's leading me to do that. Best day would kind of be Wednesday or Tuesday or whatever it is. Say it's Tuesday, you're really focusing. Do this. 24-hour period, that's why I've listed it this way, is eat supper at 6 o'clock on Tuesday. Okay? Just before 6 or whatever. 6 o'clock starts that 24-hour period. Go through the night, next day. Once that 24-hour period is over on Wednesday, or if that's Monday night, then Tuesday night, eat supper. And I understand some of you are saying that kind of feels like cheating. Remember, the point and the focus is the time I spend focusing on the Lord plus the time I think about I'm hungry is a reminder, God, would you do something great in Agronomia? Now, some of you are veterans. Some of you fast, I believe it was it Charles Stanley fasted once a week for his children? I think it was Charles Stanley maybe that fasted once a week for his kids, for the salvation of his kids. Some of you may do that now. And so, man, you've got a different plan, a purpose, or whatever. But my challenge to you as a pastor is to one day, this next 7, one goal, set 2 other personal goals for your life. Pray about that. Ask the Lord for direction. What 2 goals may be. But we want to come together as a faith family and say, God, we are pushing back from the table and asking you to do something in Agronomia with our Ukraine, with our mission team, that'll bring honor and glory to you. Amen? Last but not least, you can't give, pray, or fast your way into heaven. These are the building blocks of the faith for those who are Christians. And the ultimate picture, he says, do not be like the hypocrite. The ultimate picture of hypocrisy is to sit in a church, sit in a Sunday school class, be a member of Second Baptist or wherever, and say, God, I'm okay, and pray and fast and give, but never had a time where you surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, and you've asked Jesus to be boss and master. That's the ultimate hypocrisy. And it very well may be today that you thought, man, I never considered some of these things because you've never surrendered your heart to Jesus. Or it may be that you, under conviction of the Spirit, you realize, man, I've been doing some of these things so that other people notice how great I am. And quite honestly, it's because I've never surrendered my heart to Jesus. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Every person in here, Romans 3:23, have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. eternal death, eternal separation from God. But the gift of life is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus today, anew and afresh, is offering you the gift of salvation in Romans 10, 9, 10, 13. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God is not a respecter of persons. If you'll call out on him for salvation, the Bible says God will save you. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this day. And I pray, Lord Jesus, if there's anybody here who's not yet surrendered their heart and life to you, I pray, God, that you would give them grace to open up their heart and invite you in. You can pray something like this. Say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. Wash away my sin. Be the boss of my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. God, we thank you for this time, this purpose, this plan. God, this principle of fasting, it's not easy. It's kind of hard to wrap our mind around. Lord, I pray that we'd be sensitive to your leadership and your direction. God, I pray, however you've spoken to our heart and our life, that we'd be obedient to you in these next few moments, I pray. I ask this in Jesus' name. Take this time, and this time is for you. And God spoke to your heart. You're welcome to come. This time is for you, and you're welcome to come and just spend time at the altar. Pray, ask the Lord how he'd have you to respond to this, what he'd have you to do. Maybe God spoke to your heart about needing to be saved, and you need to come and give your heart and life to Jesus. Maybe you need somebody to pray for you. I'd love to pray for you. However the Lord's leading you, be obedient to him.